There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Thursday. Live local talk over the hour. Phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. And get into this Will Disney story. Talked about it a little bit this week. And you've had comments from Alabama GOP head Terry Lathan, a lot of elected officials, Democrats for sure, but Republicans as well. Although I saw like an op-ed, was it War on Dumb Kyle Whitmire, was it Josh Moon over at Alabama Reporter, or one of them, they're saying that the Republicans shouldn't apologize for Will Disney's because they're all like him. Well, I think it was Josh Moon. Way to go, Josh. Really? That's about as ignorant and ham-fisted as anything I've ever heard. This story has been growing through the week, and kind of go back on this and kind of run through this. So, starting on Monday, and let me read what Mary Sell wrote over at Alabama Daily News. This is good. Said, criticisms continued to mount Monday against an Alabama lawmaker who posted on social media pictures of himself speaking Sunday at an event honoring a known Ku Klux Klan leader. I would argue Mary, just the founder of the KKK, Nathaniel Bedford Forrest. It said, State Representative Will Dismuke's attempts Monday to explain his actions prompted a fellow GOP lawmaker from Prattville to call for him to resign. Clyde Chambliss, and he's been State Senator Clyde Chambliss, who's been there a while for sure, says, Dismuke's does not represent my views or the views of the vast majority of people of District 88. Senator Clyde Chambliss, who is represented by Dismukes in the House, said on social media Monday evening. He said, the post is bad enough, the timing is even worse, but the real problem is an elected official in 2020 would attend a celebration of life of someone that led a group that terrorized and killed other human beings. He has had 24 hours to understand why people are so upset, but his interview on WSFA a few moments ago confirms that he is lacking in understanding and judgment, and he should resign immediately. In an interview, and it goes on to say here, an interview with WSFA's Jennifer Horton on Monday, Dismuke said he was surprised by reactions Monday and attributed it to the anti-Southern sentiment, end quote. Said a lot of people who are seeming to be more and more offended, end quote. He said he did not know about, now this is, y'all, this is, you know how I've said this over the decade, right? When elected officials, politicos, they step in it, they could either just say, that's my opinion, and I'm sticking with it, or they can say I was wrong. But they don't do that. They take the third way, right? The crawfish, you don't understand. Listen to this. So, Will Dismuke said, Representative Dismuke said, he did not know about Nathan Bedford Forrest's connection to the Ku Klux Klan. Come on, Will. And he said also he didn't know that the civil rights icon and Congressman John Lewis's funeral procession was taking place a few miles away. He may or may not have known that. But for him to go and to be a chaplain and you know, of this chapter of the Sons of Confederate Veterans and go to this Nathaniel Bedford Forrest birthday party and not know, could he really be that ignorant to the history of this? Dismuke said, hey, you know, hey, that's on me. That wasn't even running through my mind. There were two things that weren't running through my mind, and that's one of them. The passing of Representative John Lewis and the next is Nathan Bedford Forrest's connection to the Ku Klux Klan. If he didn't know it from studying, right, and books, did he not know it from Forrest Gump? came out in Forrest Gump. It goes on to say in Mary Sell's story, Dismukes, who belongs to the Prattville Dragoons, sons of the Confederate veterans, also said his ability to represent the district that includes portions of Autauga and Elmore counties has nothing to do with his heritage or his past. On Sunday, Dismukes, who is also a business owner and a Baptist pastor, posted a picture to Facebook and said, had a great time at Fort Dixie speaking and giving the invocation for Nathan Bedford Forrest's annual birthday celebration. The post was since set to private, can only be viewed by friends of Dismukes, but screenshots are widespread on social media Sunday evening. All right, so, and it goes on and talks about Nathan Bedford Forrest in this, and then it goes on and also talks about the fact that you had the funeral going on, and he might not have known about the funeral for John Lewis. But to say he didn't know the link here of Nathan Bedford Forrest and doing the birthday party. So there's that part of it. And now, since then, there have been the invitations to this event that have come out. Somebody has snapped pictures of invitations to the event, and you can go through that and look. And I was looking at some of the people posted it up yesterday evening or the evening before. So you've got this part of it. And in this, I want to go to the next part of it. I'll tell you what, we'll do this after the break because there's more to this. So that's basically what happened through yesterday, okay? And also, since then, the church that Dismukes was a pastor at, he has resigned from his church. I don't know if they forced him out. Most likely they did. He has resigned from that church. Then, this is kind of, to me, at that point, I was like, well, maybe he's a young guy. He's like 30 or something. I said, yeah, maybe ignorant, maybe, okay. Then the invitation comes out. And looking at this invitation last night, a flyer for the event that included on there the band, the music band there is the Unreconstructed Band was playing at the event. And then on this invitation, it said they were serving, quote, ice-cold watermelon served from Pickaninny Freeze watermelon stand. Now, you know what Pickaninny is, right? So that's in the invitation. At that point, so he's at this event. He's got the invitation. Instead of just saying, because earlier in the week, people said, well, you know, he's young. Maybe he's just tone deaf to this. He's really not thinking about it. But something on the invitation says the Pickaninny Freeze watermelon stand. You think, and he's there giving the invocation at this event. Do you think it's time for Dismukes to, I mean, can he effectively be a representative there for District 88? Like I said, the story just, as the week has gone on, there's just more and more things here that you got to question, you know. Was he just tone deaf, or was he, is he completely in on it and trying to dance his way out of it? Because the crawfishing thing now, where he's like, well, I didn't know that's what that meant. Come on. Representative Dismukes. All right, well, grab some calls here at 343-0106. 343-0106. Let's go to, we'll take one here before the break. Let's go to David, Gulf Shores, first up. Hey, David.
Hey, yes, sir. My name is David Nelson. I'm from Gulf Shores. I just have a thought process on this. You had a question. You said, could he represent the citizens of his district?
Yes.
There's no way that he can properly and could have properly in the past represented the citizens of his district without knowing that half of his district or whatever the percentage demographic of black people have been oppressed by Bedford Forrest. I mean, it's unbelievable that he's a representative and doesn't know that in this time, in this climate. I mean,
well, and even just, for white people, even for white people in his district that would look at that and go, you know, this is not somebody. There's a difference between somebody being involved in Sons of Confederate Veterans and, then talking about their heritage and all that to going to an event that features a Pickaninny Freeze watermelon stand. It just,
yeah, I heard you say that. I was like, that's not a red flag. I mean, what are you doing?
I don't know. I don't know, and it's, you know, earlier in the week when he talked to WSFA, he was like, well, I just didn't know all this stuff. I didn't know what all that other stuff meant. Did he not know that on the... How could he be ignorant to that? I don't know.
That's my deal, is how can you be a leader in the society and be ignorant to that fact? And John Lewis is eulogy or funeral or whatever, Obama is speaking 3 miles down the road, and I'm just like, you got to be more cognizant in this environment.
You would
think.
You're
going to get blown up. You're going to lose your career. I mean, what are we doing?
And now the other argument is he's young. He's 30-something years old. But by 30, I got to think by 30, you know.
I'm 24, and...
And you know.
You know, okay? I mean, I don't know. Even if you didn't know prior to 2016, with all this revolution... I mean, not revolution. That's crazy. But all this... wild, just left pushing, and it's just like, oh, you got to be quiet about your opinion. You got to know what you're talking about these days when you're representing people, or you're going to get asked to leave your job. I mean, that's just what it is.
There it is. I appreciate your call. We'll grab some more when we get back at 343-0106, 343-0106. Hey, this guy is continuing to dig this hole here. CLB, he's got, it's not just Democrats, Republicans. I mean, the head of the Alabama GOP and many elected representatives that are Republicans said, enough, man, enough.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 121 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. A variety of texts we will get to here. People on the text line and the phone lines that identify themselves. I usually don't do this because I don't want to encourage this behavior. When this happens, and happens a whole bunch, and we don't talk about it because I don't want to encourage. When people won't go on there, they just want to call and make sure I know something, right? They'll tell it to Dalton. They're not going to get on the phone with me. They're not going to get on the air with me. But so usually we don't mention it. But this one, I just want to point out, just like a little taste of this. Somebody had called and told Dalton that I've rolled over. I've rolled over. Dude, you have no idea who I am. I've rolled over. From what? I'm the same dude I've always been. Rolling over. When I see something like this, I'm going to point it out. So maybe you need to roll on over, you know, and get on the phone line and tell me that. Said I rolled over, and instead of worrying about other people's problems, I should worry about myself. This is an Alabama problem. This is a problem for our state. This is a story that shines bad light on our state. So I am worrying about other person's problems. I'm worrying about our state. And that's my job. And it's also my right to do that. So I'd love to take your call sometime, but that to kind of drive-by thing was and tell him that he's... foolish. All right. Then we'll get some good texts in here. Some back and forth on these texts that are very good. Also, we'll go to the phones. David in Mobile first up at 343-0106. Hey, David.
Hey, Sean. And this Terry Latham, the chairwoman of the Alabama Republican Party, she didn't pull any punches in her statement either, did she?
Nope.
I can just imagine her spitting fire as she was dictating that statement.
It's gotten worse since then because this crawfish and acting like he didn't know what was going on. How? If he doesn't know what was going on, if he is that naive, should he be an elected representative of the state of Alabama?
Well, the only possible excuse he could ever come up with for being that naive and that stupid is the fact that he had a massive stroke when he was a senior in college. So let's have that caveat. But he had
that stroke when he was elected, right?
Yes, he had. His constituents should have known about that stroke when they voted for him. But here's why he should resign. He knew not even a month ago that the Democrats called for his resignation way back when, and everybody kind of took up for him because he hadn't really done anything to warrant that call. So he knew the Democrats were gunning for his resignation. So why do you turn around and hand the Democrats on a silver platter a perfect example of why you should resign?
Well, maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's a good thing to get that get that out of the Alabama Republican Party. You know what
exactly.
I'm saying?
Exactly. And the governor has been conspicuously quiet on this. And that tells me that Joe Bonner has her keeping her mouth shut, because he's fixing to come up off the top ropes off of Will Dismukes and lay out the fact that not one bill of his in the legislatures is ever going to come up for a committee hearing, much less a vote. He's not going to get any state transportation or any other state money for his district for the next 2 years. And he's going to be informed that the Alabama Republican Party is probably going to take the unprecedented step of finding a primary challenger in 2022 for his district. And they will endorse him and work for his, for the primary opponent to defeat him.
I think you're right on that. I think you're absolutely right on it. Appreciate the call. Yeah, from the text line here, and y'all can hop on the phone lines as well, but let's see. This one, and then I'll read some others, but this one is different than the others, so it's like the, you know, like the Bible says about the prodigal son, that's always the one I go to first. This texter says, I guess meaning Dismukes, he is a nice guy, but very, 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 very young. And if you've ever heard him talk, I doubt he has a clue about much. He got pushed into politics real young and early. And then, of course, folks around his area know him, like him, and his family. I don't think it was nefarious. I think he is just that young and naive. But doesn't that beg another question? If that's true, and he's that young and naive, what is he doing in office? How does somebody like that get elected? So Jeffrey says, hey, Sean, this is Jeffrey. Dismukes also posted a photo of himself at Camp Dixie behind a display of several Confederate flags, including the Confederate battle flag. You can't tell me he was ignorant. Jeffrey, I know what you're saying there, but I would argue, and I would be interesting to hear from somebody, I think there's still a difference. I mean, if somebody is at an event, they're doing a reenactment or whatever, and they're relaying their heritage and their family members that fought for the Confederacy, and a discussion that is different than going to an event that has the Pickaninny Freeze watermelon stand at it. I mean, And I know in this world there's no room for subtlety anymore, but I'm sorry, I'm a throwback, that those things are of discussion. Somebody can talk about the heritage of their family and that fought for the Confederacy and discuss that and not be rallying behind something that says the Pickaninny Freeze watermelon stand. Supermom says, holy wow, Mr. Dismukes used very bad judgment. That menu is in blatant disrespect. A couple people said they've never heard of Pickaninny Freeze. No excuses to him, but I had to look it up. If the invitation had a picture on it, that's different. I did not see the picture. I saw the words. I did not see the picture on that invitation. It's just like people took a picture. It's not like a PDF even. It's like a JPEG of the invitation that's been put up. Josh says, Will Dismukes knew what he was doing. He flaunted it. He's just playing CYA by saying he was ignorant to the facts and should have learned in the fourth grade during his Alabama history semester. John says, remember this, Democrat Party is party of slavery, the party of Jim Crow, the party of the Ku Klux Klan, and the party of segregation. Those things are true, John. Absolutely. I'm with you. But that still doesn't mean you go to an event that has Pickaninny Freeze watermelon stand and the unreconstructed band. All right, let's see. Elliot, I'm with you. Okay, he's saying on the phone. So Elliot says, how does he get elected? Really? Sheila Jackson Lee, enough said. So it's just the ballot, and there you go. And I would... Sheila Jackson Lee, good point. I've asked many times how she got elected, and I'm going to ask the same question about Will Dismukes. Catherine says, as a public official, you should research the events you were invited to prior to accepting the invitation. Catherine, that's well said. That is a measured thing. Even if you just, say it pragmatically, which hopefully it's idealistically too, but let's just say it's pragmatically. That's a something you would do, Catherine. Well said. It's just you look at this guy, and I know there's people saying, well, he's young, but he's 30. At what point do you say you got to know better. You look at this invitation to the event and has this. And so if you're somebody who believes his heart is not like that, then you're going to ask, you know, then did he make a decision to do this, just an ignorant decision? I don't know. This texter says maybe it's because he never attended a diverse school. You and I know why academies began in the South. He got elected because he had an R by his name. But you know what you got to do? And I think that's what David was saying. You've got to have the right person with an R. But just because somebody has an R by their name, you've got to have a... just having an R there doesn't mean the person is right for the gig. All right. By the way, too, here's something on the flip side, and we'll talk more, get Dr. Bill's forecast coming up in a second. So John says, and John, I love the number of pictures I get that come into our text line, the people that are farming. Makes me happy. Warms my heart. He said, tell Dr. Bill Williams, thanks for the good forecast. We're cutting hay today. Just a little apolitical chant. By the way, Representative Dismukes is a moron. John, get that hay cut. I think we got like 3 days of dry, which is real nice after where we've been. Good looking hay, too. Nice to talk to you here this fall. All right, 1:30, we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, did I mention the FM Talk 106.5 family is growing? Maybe a couple times, but if you're just joining us now and didn't hear before, Jeff Poore starts on Monday at 9 in the morning, 9 to noon. Now FM Talk 106.5 goes from Mobile Mornings, 6 to 9, Jeff Poore Show from 9 to noon, and this show, Midday Mobile, noon to 2. So that block leading into Feinbaum every day, 8 hours. Of local voices, your chance to call in, interact if there's breaking news, stories that are important to us right here in Alabama, in South Alabama. We got the staff. We're talking about it. We're doing the shows. And just makes me so happy to bring Jeff in. And I think we are now at, I think I was looking at 58 hours a week of locally sourced programming coming from the studio right here with our evening shows and our Saturdays and our Sundays and the big block during the day. I just... couldn't be prouder of all the crew here, and it just got great folks here making it work. So, and thanks to y'all for supporting what we do. All right, from the text, a lot of texts coming in here, these are interesting too because there's some subtlety to this, and this is where this gets interesting, right? Because most of the mainstream news cycle is just all bad or all good without subtlety. Any nuance is lost. This one here from Joshua says, there are a lot of politicians that lack common sense and or knowledge of history, maybe most. Not defending him, though. Yeah, but they should, right? I mean, this is so over the top. Sunday into Monday, I was like, man, the guy's... Maybe he's just tone deaf and he's just young and he has not had enough experience in life to look beyond things like that. Maybe he's redeemable. And then he started crawfishing on what, Monday or Tuesday, and then the invitation thing came out. And I just, oh my gosh, come on, man. You should know if you. Either it's omission or commission, right? Either it doesn't bother him, he thinks it's great to have, you know, the things that are going on at the event, or he's just that ignorant. Either way, I don't know that he should be an elected official in our state. But that's for the people of his district to decide. C.B. Carl. What's up, C.B. Carl? He's on the text line, says, none of us can imagine you rolling over. Well, thank you. I don't. I mean, I'm the same dude. It's, you know, and I know it's frustrating. Sometimes people are like, yeah, get them, Sean. And sometimes people are frustrated with me. I'm just who I am, man. But yeah, none of us can imagine you rolling over. We're all homers and love Alabama. Preach. I'm with you there. I admit to that. He said, I have pictures of my Indian ancestor in a Confederate uniform, but I don't fly a battle flag. He needs to go. Hey, and by the way, Carl, the interesting part about Indians, Native Americans fighting with the Confederacy, we'll talk about that some tomorrow. Won't be with the Confederacy, but with Andrew Jackson's army, because it's a real treat for me, and hopefully you'll like it as much as I do. So historian extraordinaire, Mobilian John Sledge, joins me tomorrow for a discussion in the noon hour. We'll talk about his book, The Gulf of Mexico, the most recent book from John, but also get into a discussion of Andrew Jackson and his time in Mobile, the Creek Indian War and the War of 1812, so many connections for our area in that, and he and I are going to have a chance to talk about that coming up tomorrow starting at noon. All right. Good. A lot of people excited about Jeff here. Yes. That's going to be a big thing. We are fired up about it, and having Jeff on board here is going to be great. You like 8 hours of local talk every day, and you know, and on a lot of days it's going to be 10 or 11 hours of local talk that we're doing daily. And there's a lot of easier ways to do talk radio stations than what we do, but there's not a better way to do talk radio. So. I'm just lucky to have great folks around me here, and we can make this happen. All right, so we'll get to some more of those texts in a little bit here. Also, if you didn't hear yesterday, imagine you've heard by now, Governor Ivey has moved forward for a month here with the Safer at Home order and the mask order, so that's still in. You got this school question here. Now kids from second grade through college are going to be required to wear masks for schools to get back in. And you have, let's see here, AEA, which who knew AEA was still making news, but from WPMI, they said, even with the mask order, many teachers and staff members fear returning to classrooms in Alabama. That's why the Alabama Education Association created a survey for all school system employees to express their concerns. Now, that's a little bit, was it completely anonymous here? So the AEA surveyed nearly 41,000 school system employees just weeks before classes resume. Said the results were quite surprising for some. We thought it was incredibly insightful, said AEA Representative Jesse McDaniel. Of teachers, 70.5% say they're concerned about their health and contracting COVID-19, and 68% of administrators say the same. Of the teachers and faculty, 70.5% say schools should only reopen when health experts say it's safe. That's followed by nearly 60% of administrators and support staff. Now, if you heard the presser yesterday, Governor Ivey was saying that the masks were in place, but she was telling school systems to open up to not just online learning and not delay learning, but to get kids back in school. And we kind of got a mix around the state of Alabama, what people are doing. Here in Mobile, that delay of school start and that push for the online learning is pretty much contrary to what the governor was saying yesterday. And hopefully next week we'll get representatives from Mobile County Public School System on to talk more about that. I want to kind of flesh that out, because we only have a couple weeks here before we get to kids going back to school. My kids go back second week in August. I think a lot of Baldwin County, you're doing that as well. Mobile County is going to be delayed. What kind of implications is that for the students? And will we demand the same accountability for the students going through this? I know it sounds like mean and harsh, but are we going to be graduating kids that aren't going to be learning everything they would in a normal school environment as they matriculate to the next grade? Because if they don't have the foundation in whatever grade this is, you know, whatever grade they're in this year, they're going to be at loss down the road. All right, go to the phones at 343-0106, and Ed Dismukes checking in from Baldwin County. You said no relation to Will, right? Is this Ed?
Hello.
Hey, Ed.
You hear me?
Yeah, I got you, Ed. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello, Ed.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, got you loud and clear.
I just want people to know that he's not kin to these Disney's down here. You know, there's always stupid people in your family, but I don't think he's kin to us, because we don't think that way.
Lord knows in the Sullivans, there's plenty of ignorant Sullivans. I can pick them out.
He must be a buffoon. He must be an idiot.
Hey, well, and when you hear that, you know, people are saying, well, he's young. He's only 30. At 30 years old, a man should know what kind of event he's going to, I think.
Yes. But if he doesn't, he doesn't need to be running for office.
Okay, so Ed, that's what Ed is saying is what I'm saying, y'all. Either way, it's not good. Either he's in on this and he believes that way, or he's so ignorant that he didn't know what was going on. Either way, you got to ask, does he need to be an elected official in the state of Alabama?
Exactly. But anyway, I just want people to know that.
Different Dismukes.
We don't associate with those idiots like that.
Well said. Thank you, Ed. So there you go. No association between Dismukes down here, because I know there's a lot of Dismukes down here. I know some Dismukes down here, saying no relation. I love that about, as much as we grow here in Mobile and Baldwin counties and the state grows, there's part of us that still, that wouldn't happen, I don't think, in other parts of the country, would it? That you'd have a news story out and then you'd want to say, but those are the so-and-so. Whatever. It's like people ask me, are you the so-and-so Sullivans? You know, I mean, you got, that still happens here. As much growth has happened and it changes in the state, and it's 2020 and we're modern, we still all, and I love it when people want to check in and see who your people are. I love it. Let's not lose that. All right, let's go to James in Mobile next. Hey, James.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
I'm good, man. So, teachers here, and this survey, 70-something percent of teachers say they don't feel safe going back to school.
Well, what's the percentage of teachers that were surveyed? It would be my first question, because my wife's a teacher, never been asked a single question.
Is she, now say this, is she an AEA member?
She is not.
Okay, just like my wife, long retired. From now, she could go. She's listening right now. She could go back to work with Mobile County Public Schools, but she has been long retired for that. She was not a member of AEA either. And I think that is well said, because I'm sure the survey just went out to the members of AEA.
Well, I'd like to hear from some of the teachers that are in AEA and find out if they've been asked, because my wife has not known any teachers that have been asked that question.
Really?
So now, maybe somebody might not want to be so verbal about it, but we haven't heard from any other teachers that they've been asked that from the AEA.
That's a good question. So I tell you what, if they don't want to, call in, they can text in to 343-0106. Yeah, you make a good question. You make a good point. What's the sample size? Who was the sample on this?
She has about 40 teachers that she knows pretty well. So, I mean, just depending on, that is a small sample size considering, but at the same time, you would think that one person might have chimed up and said, oh, yeah, we've been asked.
Oh, no, what I'm saying is the flip side. I'm with you. I'm saying, what is the sample size of the teachers that were actually surveyed? You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
If you high-graded the people you asked the question to, you can, you could probably assume where the stats will go. It's a good point. And thank you for bringing that up. So as we read these stories and see these headlines, y'all think about the other part of it. 70% of what who got asked? James, well said. Appreciate that. Coming right back, more of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, I got to get to some of these texts, because we got to get to a follow-up story. Speaking of teachers, to a follow-up teacher story. Oh, my gosh, this idiot. All right, but I want to make sure we balance this out here. So from the text line, says, I am a teacher, not in the union, and I took the survey. Okay, so there's somebody not AEA that did take the survey. They go on to say, I know two other teachers who are not in the union who also took the survey. All right, this is why I love this audience and text line. We can find out things here. Scotty said, how many teachers didn't feel safe before COVID? Plenty of fights. Scotty, I got to go back and look if they said specifically over COVID how they framed that question. So Jared said, my daughter got her first teaching job and she is disappointed she couldn't go to class. She teaches social studies. All right. Wally says, I don't believe teachers were contacted. Facebook type survey. Wife and daughters teach. One took the survey. And one saying not all teachers are AEA members. So the missus, retired Mobile County Public School teacher, was not an AEA member during her years teaching here in Mobile County. All right, I got to go to this story here, and you'll probably hear more about this tonight for sure. We'll talk about this tomorrow and probably going forward. Remember the teacher at the professor at Auburn, who wouldn't say War Eagle. Remember that story? We had it. Dalton and I were talking about maybe a month ago, 2 months ago. It said he couldn't talk about it. He couldn't say War Eagle because it was violence. Okay, here's a quote. I can't bring myself to enthusiastically and sincerely use a slogan or a greeting or a cultural signal with war in the primary descriptor. Yeah, I know I'm being a party pooper, but it's kind of language thing that sticks out with me. So this is a professor there at Auburn. That's what the and here it is. It's this Professor Goldberg, Jesse A. Goldberg, Ph.D., okay, whose job is he is a lecturer at Auburn University of Black Studies, Critical Prison Studies, Queer Theory, American Literature, Abolitionist, Martial Artist. Remember that, Don? He's a martial artist but can't say War Eagle. Okay. And then he goes on to say, the views are mine, he, him, his. So he gives his pronouns. Okay. So now there's more. So it goes on in this Yellowhammer story from Sean Ross, says Jesse A. Goldberg, Ph.D., has still not started his first semester as a lecturer at Auburn University. However, the incoming professor continues to ignite controversy on social media. Ahead of starting his new job at Auburn, okay, we talked about that he was doing the War Eagle thing. Now there's more. Goldberg on Wednesday apparently took his radical branding to heart. The incoming Auburn lecturer tweeted the following blank F word here, y'all. This is what he tweeted. Blank every single cop. F word blank. Every single cop. Every single one. The only ethical choice for any cop to make at this point is to refuse to do their job and quit. The police do not protect people. They protect capital. They are instruments of violence on behalf of capital. So, you know, if somebody says to you, you know, you just make it up. You talk about the liberal indoctrination at colleges. At least example A here. Now, you know, I don't think there should be groupthink at colleges. I think kids go to college. It's good to have their beliefs challenged so they can learn to either maybe change their beliefs or defend their beliefs more strongly. That's a good, healthy thing. To say in the Bible, one sword sharpens the other, right? It's good for you. It's sparring. It's practice. It's good. But when you have, this is not somebody who's there to get young minds to think when he's blank, F word, blank, every single cop, every single one, the only ethical choice for any cop to make at this point is to refuse their job, to do their job and quit. Police do not protect people. They protect capital. They are instruments of violence on behalf of capital. So, I mean, where do we start? And by the way, it says here in the story, the tweet came as a response to a post by the ACLU claiming that a protester in New York City was abducted by law enforcement officers. The NYPD has publicly explained that the protester was actually arrested on an open warrant by a plainclothes officer. Goldberg in his tweet, don't worry about that fact. Goldberg in his tweet asserted that the arrest was actually a kidnapping. Goldberg's tweet has since been deleted and his account has been set to private. Of course it has. But we got a screenshot of the tweet here in the story, and I retweeted that. If you go to @FMTalk1065 on Twitter, you can see what I'm talking about. Said, in a statement to Yellowhammer News on Thursday afternoon, like now, because this just came out, a spokesperson for Auburn University reacted to Goldberg's tweet. Quote, we find Mr. Goldberg's comments inexcusable and completely counter to Auburn values. Hate speech of any kind is simply wrong, said Brian Keeter, the university's executive director of public affairs. Goes on to say here, quote, Auburn is fully committed to the fundamental right of free speech, but we do not support hateful words or actions that degrade, disrespect, or exclude, especially during these difficult times in our nation. It's vital that we reject crude stereotypes and work together to foster mutual understanding and respect within our communities. He went on to say Auburn officials are considering options available to the university. End quote. The guy doesn't have tenure yet, right? He's not even taught a single class. Are there options to kick him to the curb? How about that option? How about the go get another job option? We talk about tenured teachers and those kind of issues here, but this guy hadn't taught a class yet at Auburn. Can they go with the option of here's the cardboard box, pack your S-word stuff up, and get out of here? Wow. Wow, wow. All right. We'll see what comes of this over the next few hours, and we'll be talking about it here at FM Talk 106.5. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. Remember, stay up to date with us online, fmtalk1065.com, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.